Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. We'll go from verse 4. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture: Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for bringing us here. And I pray that you would meet with us, help us to hear from you, and help us to pray and spend some time with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We've been looking at 1 Peter whenever I have a chance to speak at EMP. But I want to begin with a question this morning. When you read 1 Peter, who do you think Peter is writing to? This is an issue of debate. I didn't realize, but as I was reading through this letter, I kept getting this sense that Peter is actually writing to a Jewish audience, right? That Peter is not writing to primarily Gentile Christians, which would be us, non-Jewish Christians, but that he is primarily writing to Jewish believers. And it's debated. A lot of evangelical commentaries now would suggest that he's writing to a mix of both Gentile and Jewish believers. But seems to me that Peter, it makes more sense that he's writing to Jewish believers. It has a big significance because the passage that we read in verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's a very famous passage that we always use as a church, right? If you've been at the church a long time, any church, I'm sure you've heard this phrase, the priesthood of all believers. And we look at this verse and we say, yeah, God has called us to be a royal nation, you know, a holy priesthood, all these things. But if Peter is not writing to Gentile Christians, he's specifically writing this to Jewish Christians, then does that apply in the same way that we've let it apply for all these years in our own lives as Gentile Christians, you know, believers that were not Jewish? Maybe it's not as interesting to you. I don't know. But it's interesting to me. It's interesting to me. Just imagine, you know, because so often our church maybe is a little bit better. You know, we've had Peter Tsukahira come. We go to Israel every year or every other year. We appreciate this idea that God is still moving and working with Israel and in Israel, the nation, that the nation of Israel is still God's special possession, that God has a special heart for them. And I think maybe we as a church, we try to be a little bit more mindful of that. But a lot of the church, often what they do is they'll anytime God has a special word for the people of Israel in Scripture, which is most of Scripture, we just apply it to ourselves. You know, automatically we think, oh, God's speaking to me, and God is doing something in my life in that word. But we have to understand, no, God is speaking to Israel and to the nation of Israel and to these special people that God had chosen to them. And Paul in Romans 11 is very intentional in explaining that we, Gentile believers, we have been grafted in, right? That we have been included into God's heart and plan and what he's doing with Israel. But we have to understand that we have, it's a very special gift that we have been given, that we have been grafted in. And so even in this passage, you know, I think, or in this letter, I think we have to understand we're reading this letter as if we're reading over somebody's shoulder, right? Do you ever do that in the office? There was a funny BuzzFeed video many years ago that came out and how some of the things that coworkers do that is annoying. And it could be like they play loud music and it's annoying, or they do this, they eat and they make a mess or whatever. One of the things that coworkers do that's annoying is they'll read over your shoulder to the computer screen and you're working on something, or maybe you're reading an email, and yeah, that's annoying. And I'm guilty of it. I don't know why, I'm just nosy. I'm like, oh, what are you? And then I catch myself and I go, wait, that's not for me. But that's nosy, right? But that's what we're doing. Peter has written, you know, Peter is known to be the apostle for the Jewish believers. And so I think he's writing to Jewish believers. And he is encouraging them, and we're reading over their shoulder into saying, oh, this is what Peter is saying to the Jewish Christians. And we definitely can glean from it, but we have to understand. Actually, with any letter that you read in the Scripture, any epistles, we have to remember, you're reading over somebody else's shoulder. Doesn't mean that God doesn't speak to you straight from the text, but it's important for us to know the context, right? That this wasn't originally written with you and me in mind. Peter has a specific group of people in mind, Jewish people that have put their faith in Jesus, and he's writing to them, and we get to read and understand. And what it means is, I think we just have to be really grateful. Because, you know, when Peter does talk about the priesthood of all believers and how we are God's chosen people, he's writing to Jewish believers, and I think they have there's a special meaning for them because they actually are God's chosen nation, special possession. And God has called them, even from the time of Exodus, to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So all of what Peter is saying has so much more meaning if we understand it to be a letter written to Jewish believers that have this history of being called by God, of being this special nation. But at the same time, if we read the other epistles and the rest of the New Testament, we understand that all of that also applies to us now, right? We also know that we have been called to represent God and to offer our lives as a spiritual sacrifice to him. You know, like this idea of us being priests before God and for the nations, it exists in the rest of the letters. But I just don't want us to take this text and say, oh, it just applies to me automatically without thinking about the context. But at the same time, I think it needs to move us into gratitude. Like, man, we have been grafted in. We weren't the chosen nation at all, and yet God had mercy on us and has given us the privilege of being included in what God is doing. So That's my first point. We have to be grateful. We have to be grateful. I didn't get to kind of go through the text. Let's do that from verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. As you come to him, the living stone, Jesus Christ is the living stone, capital L, capital S. He's the living stone. And Peter says, you are also like living stones. We are little living stones. Christ is the living stone, the cornerstone, and we are little living stones that are being built basically on top of Christ, and we're being built into a spiritual house. That word house has a physical meaning of being a house, like a building, but it also has this metaphorical meaning. We would use it like that too. We would say, for example, like Monica and I, in SP, we have a big house, meaning we have a big family. You know, when God comes to King David and says, I'm going to build you a house, David didn't think, oh, God's going to build me a nice, big, new home. No, he understood it to mean God's going to build me a household, a family. And so it's a play on words. The Greek word is oikos, and it means both. It means house physically, but also a household. And we can, I think, look at it to mean in that sense. So he's using the metaphor of Christ being a cornerstone, but not literally a cornerstone at a literal building is being built. But he's the cornerstone of this household, this spiritual household that God is building up. And every person that Peter is writing to, saying, you are the little living stones. Christ is the big living stone. You are the little living stones, and you're being built into this spiritual household, which is going to be a holy priesthood. Which goes all the way back to Exodus 19, when God says to the people of Israel, I have called you to be a nation of priests and a holy nation. Okay, so... And then it refers to a few scriptures in the past, in Isaiah, in the Psalms, and again in Isaiah, just giving this prophetic message about Christ as the living cornerstone who was rejected by man, but is precious to God and is precious to us that have put our faith in him. Okay, so... The first point I wanted to make was this idea that, hey, this is written for Jewish Christians, and we're grafted in, so we have to be grateful for what God has done. Number two, I want to talk about the preciousness of Jesus. It says in verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. I'm reading from the NIV. Choice stone, but precious in the sight of God. Rejected by man, but precious in the sight of God. Verse 6, this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. Verse 7, this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected. This became the very cornerstone. For us who believe, the stone, this Jesus Christ, is precious. And this preciousness, not only for us, because through him, we get to enjoy eternal life and this relationship with him. But it says this choice stone is also precious in the eyes of God. Right? So God, the Father, looks at Jesus and says, man, you are rejected by man, but you are precious to me. And I think for us, the Jewish believers here and us, that have been grafted in, we understand that Jesus is rejected by man, but he is precious to us. And I think this morning, I just want us to treasure Jesus. He is rejected by man, right? Many people around the world, they reject Jesus. They think we're ridiculous for believing in him. And they think this whole, you know, the whole religion is ridiculous. A lot of people make fun of Christianity. They even use the name of Jesus as a cuss word, right? Jesus Christ. They say it as a way to express their anger and their frustration. And I think this morning I just thought, man, we need to treasure Jesus and consider how precious he is to you and me, to the Jewish believers, to God himself, that Jesus is precious. And the last point I wanted to make was in verse 5. It says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And again, I believe we are also included into this priesthood. If you look at verse 9 again, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. As a priest, there's a few things that the priest did, right? A priest would represent God to the people, that couldn't have access to God. But now, through Christ, we also have been called into this priesthood to represent God to the world around us. And we declare, as it says in verse 9, we declare the excellencies of Christ. We declare the goodness of God, the preciousness of God. We declare the praises of God to the world. We intercede for others. That's what priests did, right? Priests would stand before God and intercede for the people, for their sins, and they would say, God, forgive them, you know, and the last thing the priest would do, they would offer up a sacrifice to God. And Peter uses that metaphor of offering up a sacrifice and says in verse 5, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So what is a spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to God? We have to turn to Romans chapter 12 to understand, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, the sacrifice is not just what it was in the Old Testament, where they would sacrifice an animal, a lamb or a bull, as a literal sacrifice. But the sacrifice is now our lives. We offer our bodies as living sacrifice to him, which is the acceptable worship before God. And so I think Peter is alluding to it, or maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking separately to both Peter and Paul, but they both had the same idea. Offering up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ is us offering up our lives to him as living sacrifice. And so this morning, I just want us to think about those three things. One is, let's be grateful that we have been grafted in, you know, that we have the privilege of enjoying the promises of God that is given to the nation of Israel, but God has called us to be part of that. And number two, let's think about the preciousness of Jesus, and let's worship him, and let's treasure him. And number three, let's make sure that we're coming to him and offering up our lives as living sacrifice to him, holy and pleasing to God, acceptable before him. So Annie's going to lead us. This is Annie's first time, so praise God. Annie's going to lead us in a song of worship this morning, and we will just spend some time going before God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's take some time to sacrifice, offer up our lives as sacrifice. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that song. God, we pray that we would be able to give you a spiritual sacrifice of worship that is pleasing and acceptable before you. God, that we would offer our lives, our bodies as living sacrifice. God, thank you for what you have done for us, Jesus. Let's pray together for our community. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's power to come. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for just miracle to take place in the lives of our friends on this list. Let's pray. Let's pray for those that are going through illness but are also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's mercy. Let's pray for healing and spiritual healing as well. Let's pray for our community that's in need of healing, various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing and restoration to come upon our friends. Let's pray for those in our community looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our Wednesday prayer. Let's pray for China. Oh no, Tuesday prayer, sorry. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for all that's going on at this time. Let's pray for God's grace and mercy in this land. Let's pray for protection for what is happening with the protests and everything. Let's pray also for the different ministries that's listed. Let's pray for God's provision and anointing upon all these different churches and ministries, that they would have just such impact in our city. Let's pray. Let's pray for the staff. Pray for Pastor Sam. He is on break for 5 weeks. This is his sabbatical. Let's pray for a really good time for the rest of the staff to work well and work hard and to be united and for us to really be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for the hospitality ministry, welcoming and barista. Let's just pray that they would really operate with the love of God and with the anointing to help people feel so loved and welcomed at SP. Let's pray. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound and AV team, for us to have the anointing of God upon us to be able to lead the congregation into this place of worship and praising and freedom and warfare. Let's pray for unity between the three ministries, that they will work well together. Yeah, thank you, God. We give this day to you. Thank you for your mercy, God, in rescuing us, God, and for your grace in just choosing us and thinking of us and giving us life, God. We praise you, and help us to offer up our lives to you as a living sacrifice, God. Thank you. We love you, and we bless you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.